Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Hospice of Lubbock, Happy State Bank, and the law offices of Mullen, Horde, and Brown, LLP. Now, here's your host, Ted Dotts.
Hello, I'm Ted Dotts, and welcome to Faith Matters. Today we have two guests, Professor Shine and Sally Shine, his wife, and we're delighted you're here. I've been most eager to have this time with the two of you for a number of reasons. One, I expect some good information, and I imagine also some humor. Now, Sally, I got to know you first when you were a longtime employee at the South Plains Food Bank, I think 9 years.
That's correct.
You covered 25 counties, and I don't know how many things you did, but every time I did anything, you seemed to have a hand in it. Professor Shine, I have gotten to know you in different ways, and one is through a reputation you have as a professor of chemistry. A number of people through the years have talked about you. If you would, Sally, would you mind telling us a little bit about Henry?
Oh, that one is quite an interesting job. You're getting her to talk about me.
Yes, that's right, Henry. Sally.
Are you scared?
No. What I was thinking about was that Henry could talk about the Horn professorship, but I would rather talk about the Shine lectureship. A number of years ago, Henry was given the honor of having a lectureship named after him. This is usually bestowed upon chemists who are no longer living, but it's a rarity when a living person does get one. 1 year, everybody in the chemistry department was busy and asked Henry if he would pick up the guest lecturer at the airport. Henry did so, and when the guest lectureship met him, he gave a big grin and said, "You're the first lectureship person that a lectureship was named after that I've actually met." We thought this was very funny because all the others obviously had been deceased.
Oh, Henry, I'm glad you're alive.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to rise to the occasion, actually, and set him at ease.
Would you be willing to say something about your part in the establishment of the medical school? I think of you as one of the persons who managed to get it up and going.
Yes. Oh, I'd be very happy to tell you a great deal about it. Time is limited, but I will tell you that I was a consultant. I was chairman of the chemistry department at the time. The powers that be who were going to be setting up the medical school employed consultants. I don't know why they wanted to consult me, because I didn't know much about a medical school, but the idea at that time was that the new medical school, the science departments of the new medical school would not offer degrees, but the degrees would be offered on the campus. And I suppose that they wanted the science people on the campus to be involved in establishing the medical school. Interestingly, your last speaker, Ted Hartman, he was also a consultant. And I remember I used to sit next to Ted at the consultants' meetings, and I liked him so much, I tried to interest him in coming to Texas Tech. Somebody evidently did, because he did come here, and he was became dean of the medical school. But at any rate, I was a consultant. There were much more troublesome and at sometimes amusing relationships between me and the establishment of the medical school, because once it got going, there were no laboratories, there were no buildings, no rooms for the departments that were created, and some of the departments, the scientific departments, were housed on the campus. Biochemistry of the medical school, for example, was housed in the chemistry building, and the chemistry building had a new extension was built in 1970, so there was plenty of space for the newcomers to have labs. But it was a very contentious time, because the head of the biochemistry department of the medical school wanted to have a traditional biochemistry department, and he was not happy about the fact that degrees were going to be given through the chemistry department. That didn't last too long, by the way. They soon changed that, but at the time, that was what was happening. So I had quite a contentious period of time with the biochemistry department of the newly established medical school. I have very happy relations with the biochemists now, though, but at that time it was really contentious.
Oh, Henry, thank you. To go from contentiousness to a good relation, that's
wonderful.
Oh,
yes. We have very happy relationships and also collaborations with the biochemistry and cell. It's called cell biology and biochemistry over in the medical school now, particularly with Doug Stocco. We have very good relationships.
Sally, could I ask you now, you worked at St. Mary's with child psychiatry and mental health.
Yes.
And you left there to go to the South Plains Food Bank.
Yes. St. Mary's closed the child unit. They still had an adult mental health unit, but they closed the children's.
So how did your work change from child psychiatry into South Plains Food Bank?
Oh, what a question. It changed immensely. I concentrated at St. Mary's, being what I am, a social worker. But at the food bank, I was not only a social worker, I was in charge of monitoring the 25 counties in which we had agencies. Each of them had to be monitored at that time every 2 years. I gave lectures. I belonged to agencies that the food bank was concerned with, the homeless. I served on the homeless consortium and any number of agencies that were helping people in need. And in essence, I really found myself doing everything. I never knew what was going to be happening when I came to work. It was so exciting because there was always problems, there were always things we had to solve, people we had to help, people in serious trouble.
I would assume some of your help would have had to go to the staff. You weren't just working to help people who came for help.
Yes. They did. I did work with the staff. Also, I'm a registered nurse, so if anybody got hurt, I was the first one they called. So that was another one of my little jobs.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, Henry, I'd like to know more about you and contention, especially in the academic world. And then I want to know from the two of you how you came from such two cosmopolitan cities like London and New York City to Lubbock, Texas, and the kind of impact that has made on you, especially as you raised your children. So we will be back after a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotz. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotz.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotz, and we're getting to have a conversation with Henry and Sally Shine. Professor Shine, professor of chemistry at Texas Tech University. Sally, a social worker, registered nurse, psychiatric care person who has contributed an immense amount to our community. Now, I should like to continue by asking you two the question, what has it done to you to come from New York City, you, Sally, and London, you, Henry, and to live in Lubbock?
Actually, we've had, as far as I'm concerned, a very happy and productive life here. I can't say that that's the way it started out, but that is the way in which it has ended up. Sally came here because of my decision. She would have much rather, I think, have stayed in New York, where she had a very interesting job in a theater distribution company. with a world-famous theater person named Jean Rosenthal. Sally was very happy in the work. But I, who was working in the industry for 3 years with the United States Rubber Company and their research labs, wanted to be doing my own thing. And it so happened I got the chance to do that at a place called Lubbock that I'd never heard of, at a school called Texas Technological College that I'd never heard of, and Sally, we were just married 1 year, was happy to come with me. And I'm, you know, could not have come here without her, really. At any rate, that's what brought us to Lubbock. And you've asked what it's like. It's an enormous change from living in a big city, but we've grown used to this kind of life, and we're very happy here.
Sally, how about you coming to Lubbock 60 years ago?
Well, it was difficult. I believe in whither thou goest. And since Henry was not happy, he wanted to do his own research, I thought I would go with him. I mean, I had no choice. You don't want to live with an unhappy mate. Anyway, coming here was really a shock, a cultural shock for me, and a physiological shock. I was used to, I lived in New York all my life, New York City. I was used to the ocean. I was used to trees. I didn't live in Manhattan. I worked in Manhattan. But I was used to lots of greenery, and I never had been in a sandstorm before in my life. So it was quite a change. It really was. One of the things I was so impressed with was the friendliness of the people. I remember when I first got here, I was walking along a street on Broadway, and someone said, how are you? And I looked behind me to see who he was talking to, and he was talking to me. You know, I'm not used to having people say hello walking down the streets of New York. But since I couldn't do theater work here, I joined the Lubbock Little Theater. And that was a pet of mine. I worked on that for years. I not only was the president for many years, I was also the secretary. I took minutes, copious minutes, directed the teenage workshop. Just loved it. That was my way of...
You used to do the lighting, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did the lighting. What lighting we had. I was always afraid of... I can say it now because the building is no longer there. But the lighting system, the wires were spaghetti. I mean, I think they would have closed us down if they had ever seen it because it was all makeshift. But I worked on many, many plays doing the lights, and I enjoyed it.
You and Henry both helped at least provide an impetus or an interest to bring the station into being in classical music to Lubbock.
Oh, yes, we waited long years. We were so happy when it finally came because we had a wonderful station in New York. I couldn't believe that we couldn't get any classical music here. Yes, we have been contributors, certainly. And certainly talked it up before it even existed.
One of the things I do remember about the radio station, that I believe that it was at one time just in the hands of students and was housed on the campus, and there was a small building, I think it was the experimental lab building for the theater group, and I have the feeling that the radio station had a small room in that building. The building, that particular building was eventually torn down because they built the Southwest Collection, that really wonderful archive that exists there. But I think that on that site, there was this experimental theater building.
Ah.
And the radio station, I believe, was in there when we would go to the theater on Saturday evenings. We'd walk by the office for that radio station.
60 years, you've seen many changes.
It wasn't a fancy-looking place like this, I must say that. Things have changed for you guys.
Well, that's a good thing about 60 years. You've been able to see a lot of change. But let me ask you, Henry, about that word. You used the word contention several times. My experience as an outsider is that often academic departments can be very contentious. How would you say in your professional life you managed contentious times?
Well, let me deal with that for a moment. I think it was one of your presidents, Woodrow Wilson, who was once a professor at Princeton.
Yes.
And when he was asked, I'm not sure of how this the wording exactly, how he managed to become president of the United States, he said he got good training at being, I think he was the president of Princeton, at least on the academic staff. He got good training in contentiousness.
I see.
Anyway, I don't want to dwell on the contentious side between the beginning of the medical school and the academic departments. I would not want to dwell on that.
No.
We have a really remarkably fine medical school with extraordinarily good scientific departments as distinct from, so the science departments are different from the clinical departments, but we have really wonderful clinical people and wonderful scientific people in the medical school. I wouldn't want to dwell upon a contentious time.
Right. My interest would be more like in how you and Sally, life is full often of contention. Like Sally, I'm imagining a food bank. You could have had many opportunities for contention. People often, when we're in need, can become a little demanding or pushy. So I had thought perhaps it'd be helpful all of us to know how you two have managed conflict or contention in your lives, especially in the midst of a community.
There's been no contention.
Well, we're good.
I've been very lucky to have a remarkably wonderful wife. We were married in 1953, and we've been together now over 60 years. I cannot imagine a life without my wife, Sally.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotts. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotts.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotts, and I'm getting to visit with Henry and Sally Schein. I want to ask the two of you, now you have two marvelous children. I know your daughter a little bit more than I met your son. Your son lives in England. Your daughter is a professor here at the university. So would you tell me what it was like raising two children in the Lubbock culture?
Sally raised them. I spent my life in the chemistry building. So if you want to know how we raise children, you have to ask Sally.
I really didn't know what it was to raise children in New York City. I was a child myself there, but I never raised a child. So it's hard to compare, only knowing what I had as I grew up. I think that they really had a better life here than they would have in New York City. Life was less pressured, less dangerous. When we first came here, we wouldn't lock our doors when we left the house. And you never would do that in New York City. Schools were close. As I said, it's kind of hard to compare. But Henry's right. He was at the lab day and night, Saturdays and Sundays. At one point, thought that I would forever live in a car filled with children. Because when they got old enough and were dancing school and football and Bluebirds and all the organizations that they belong to, I seem to be just driving around in that car continuously. I really feel that it was much easier to raise children here in Lubbock than it would be in a city like New York.
Sully, that kind of attitude is striking to me. I mean, sometimes people can talk about the negative parts of life or where they live, but you have a gratitude for what was here. And evidently, I think, pass that on to your children. At least that's my experience of them. Henry, since you were so busy at the chemistry department all the time, would you tell us a bit about the grant from the Welch Foundation and how long that went on? And
the Welch Foundation is named for the man that set it up or provided the money for it, Robert Alonzo Welch, not to be confused with the Welch of political notoriety or the Welch from the grape juice company, but Robert Alonzo Welch was a self-made businessman who left on his death a considerable sum of money to be used with the advisement of a group of his friends and a scientific advisory board to be used for supporting researching chemistry in Texas. The Welch Foundation gave grants for research to many of the universities in Texas, initially to Rice University, UT, and Texas A&M, and later on to Texas Tech. I was one of the first grantees in 1955 at Texas Tech. There was a second grantee, or another grantee, named Patricia Fain, relinquished her grant after a couple of years when she left the department and went to work in industry. But the Welch Foundation supported my work from 1955 until 2008.
That's a major accomplishment.
When I relinquished the grant myself, I'd had it, I'm not sure, that's 53 years. Not continuously, I mean, it was a continual at three-year intervals. It was renewed by application every 3 years. The Welch Foundation has a professorship at Texas Tech, where we have had brilliant, well-known chemists occupying the chair of, called the Welch Chair of Chemistry. We have Professor Harsey, Bill Harsey, that now has that chair, a renowned chemist throughout the United States and the chemical world. The Welch Foundation continues to support chemistry in Texas. The restriction was for Texas only. And interestingly, establisher Mr. Welch gave the Scientific Advisory Board the opportunity to support other disciplines if they so wished after the first 10 years, but they've chosen to continue to support only chemistry. Of course, there's a Welch chair in the medical school. Also, Doug Stocker had that chair.
Sally, could I ask you, what made you decide to become a social worker and commit your life like you have, child psychiatry, South Plains Food Bank, nursing?
All my life, I was always very interested in helping people. What I wanted to do in college was major in sociology. That's where social workers, there weren't special social work schools back then. That was a long time ago. So I had a major in sociology, and then I wanted to do sociodrama. That appealed to me. So I had a minor in drama. The drama became so fascinating, I just fell in love with it. So I thought, well, I'm going to switch majors. But by that time, when I went to speak to the department and the head of sociology, he said, you already have a major. Just take a double major. So I did. And then that's when I went to work in theater. When we came here, my first job was working with the American Red Cross in their home service division. As time went on, I thought I wanted an advanced degree, and there was none. And then I decided I would go into nursing. And so I became an RN and did psychiatric nursing. Then eventually decided that I really wanted to have more control over what I was doing. So I got a master's in social work in New York City at Worthwhile School of Social Work.
Henry, I want to ask you the same question. Why did you choose to become a chemistry professor?
It was an accident. It was an accident that I entered chemistry. I was going to be an accountant. I left school when I was 15 years old in England, and I worked in accounting. I worked for a film studio, Warner Brothers and First National Film Studios, as a bookkeeper until I was something like 17. I was working as a bookkeeper during the war. It was in London. And Warner Brothers decided to move their offices from London out into the countryside, southwest of London, to their film studios because of the intensity of nighttime bombing. They moved their offices out to a place called Teddington, southwest of London. Eventually, when people got used to, accustomed to the exigencies of bombing, the film company decided to move back to London, but I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to commute from where I was living to continue working with the film company. So I looked for another job. And since I had had chemistry as a schoolboy, the Labour Exchange, as it is called in England, it's an employment bureau here, found that there was a job available for a lab assistant for one of the pharmaceutical companies. So I got a job as a lab assistant. And when I was working in the lab, I found there were people that actually studied chemistry. I decided that if they could do it, I could do it.
I'm always amazed what the Second World War has brought us, the changes it's made, and some kind of gifts that sometimes have come out of it. Henry and Sally, thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ted Dotts, and you've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Ted Dotts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Hospice of Lubbock, Happy State Bank, and the law firm of Mullen, Horde & Brown, LLP. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.